Romans chapter 4. And this morning we're returning to our series in the book of Romans, Christ Our Righteousness. And you may remember that this letter that Paul is writing to the church at Rome was to precede his coming. That he had never visited Rome before, but he had a plan. He wanted to go to Rome and minister to the Christians that were there, and then he wanted to go to Spain. Paul never made it to Spain, but he did make it to Rome. And he also wanted, in this letter that he wrote about AD 57, he wanted it to be a letter that was encouraging to them. I remember telling you that this is a polemical writing. It's an argument. He is building this case as a good lawyer would build a case. And the whole reason is that he wanted them to fully understand their standing in Christ. He wanted them to understand more fully the gospel and just how deep and wide and rich the salvation that we have in Christ is. He wanted them to understand their righteousness, what it meant to be righteous. And I want that for you too. As he lays out this doctrinal case, I want us to do something this morning. I have a purpose for us this morning. I believe it's God's purpose for us. And that purpose is to build upon the message that we had 2 weeks ago from Philippians chapter 2, where we were talking about the working out of our salvation. Not that we work for salvation, but the working out of it so that we might appreciate it more. Here's what I want to accomplish, or would like to accomplish this morning. One, I'd like to see those who truly believe. I'd like to be of some help to you in order to solidify your faith a little bit more. To solidify your faith where it creates within you a sense of boldness and confidence. Number two, for those who believe but struggle with your salvation. You have question after question. You have doubts. I hope that this message will help to clarify your faith. And then number three, for those who do not believe. And I believe that there are possibly several among us today. There always is any time a church gathers. That there would be some who would not believe. I hope that this will lead you to faith. And so why this talking about righteousness and salvation? Why share with a congregation that already claims to know Christ? Why share the message of salvation? Because if you're truly not saved, then you're not destined for heaven, you're destined for hell. And it would be very unloving and unkind of me and any other Christian not to share the gospel message with you and to help you to understand. It would create or reveal a lack of insincerity on our part for your very soul and for your eternal destiny. If you're one of those who struggle with doubts, then you're most likely lacking a healthy level of peace and joy in your Christian life. It's kind of like treading water. Eventually you just get tired and it wears you out. You feel like you're going nowhere. And your focus is not heavenward. And your focus isn't on your community, but it's on self. It keeps coming back. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And that's just not healthy for the long term. It actually leads to a life of ineffectiveness when it comes to your ability to share the faith with others. And then for those of you who have your spiritual life all together, and I'm sure there are many of you where we just exude confidence, right? We never have any doubts. We never have any struggles. I'm sure there are many here today that feel that way. Maybe this is just a doctrinal checkup for you. Maybe it's an encouragement and a reminder of your standing before Christ. And if that's the case, and I hope this happens for all of us this morning, but when we fully understand, not that we fully understand, I think there is always more for us. There's always some digging to do. But when we begin to fully appreciate the depth and love that God has for us and the salvation that He provides, it creates a sense of joy and peace within us that goes far beyond most understanding that people have. Here's our title this morning. You're already at Romans chapter 4. God's declarative statement for the undeserving. Let me tell you, Teresa types these out in the bulletin. And she would like titles that had maybe one, two words at the most. Three. But when I give her these long ones, every Tuesday she goes, "Oh, oh. Can't you make them a little shorter? I've got to put them on two lines." So next week I'm going to have a title this long. Just because I'm that kind of guy. I'm just joking. Yadda, 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 yadda. So what is a declarative statement? Hush, woman. That's a declarative statement. How about this? That's it. Well, yeah, still the same.
We'll talk later.
We'll talk later, okay. Actually, a declarative statement or sentence is a fact or an argument followed by, or one that comes to a complete stop. Period. Right? How about this one? Here's a declarative statement for you. 10 out of 10 people die. Period. Everybody dies, right? I thought of this one. Having a national discussion about transgender bathrooms and locker rooms is downright silly, period. And then I thought, okay, that's my opinion. But my opinion, period, right? God in His Word has many declarative statements. But the one that leads the list in regards to believers is the one from which all other doctrines concerning our salvation flows. And so it begins with this one big statement. And then all these other doctrines kind of filter down. And then when we begin to understand all the tentacles from this, it can be quite overwhelming. Talking about the doctrine of justification this morning. And before some might say, well, these are just some churchy words, don't let that lead you somewhere else in your thoughts this morning. If you're a true follower of Christ,